Good morning.
Good morning.
In our world today, we have a tiny nation, the homeland of the Jewish race, Israel. No one can deny this country's existence and effect on our world, especially to its neighbours, most of whom have vowed Israel's destruction. But still, the country remains. How can this be possible? Israel manages to find its way onto the world news headlines, if not daily, then almost certainly weekly. This tiny little country. It's only 290 miles in length and 85 miles wide. Its capital, Jerusalem, is the most contested place on earth, the focus of three major world religions: Judaism, Islam, and Christianity. And right in the horizon, you can see some Christian churches. We've got the Western Wall, symbolising the big focus for the Judaism. And we've got the Dome of the Rock there for Islam. The Dome of the Rock, the octagonal building, is the oldest remaining intact Islamic shrine. And it's in Jerusalem. Not to have been in there. There is literally a rock coming through the floor, and etched into it is a hoof print, which was Muhammad's horse. As you can almost see the chisel marks in this little hoof print. And that's where Muhammad is said to have risen to heaven from the Dome of the Rock. That's why they've put a church on the top of it, or a mosque. And also, unique to Israel is the fact that it sits on a great crack in the earth's crust. And in fact, Israel has the lowest point on earth within its borders, the shore of the Dead Sea. Oh, and also, just to prove that Israel is with us now, they're very proud of this big bronze menorah, this seven-branch candlestick that they have sat outside the Knesset, the Jewish parliament. Israel certainly does exist. We've come to a section through the land of Israel. You can see the Mediterranean Sea over there in the west. And down here, slightly murky colour because it's the Dead Sea, which is 1,378 feet below sea level. So in just 22 miles you can drop from Jerusalem some 4,000 feet down to the shore of the Dead Sea. There really is no place like this on earth. And that road down there is very, very spectacular. That's a lovely drive, is that? And of course, people today do go on holiday to Israel. It's a popular holiday destination. Surely this little tiny country is too small to be of any significance and effect on our world. Why would anyone care? The country's sheer existence is remarkable. Israel wasn't even on our maps before 1948. It didn't exist. It's only 71 years ago. And now, of course, people go for holidays. These are pictures from my cousin who recently went. This is the synagogue in Capernaum, the ruins of which you can still go to. So, yes, it's a very popular and safe-ish holiday destination. History records that the Jews were blamed for the crucifixion of Jesus 2,000 years ago, and then were persecuted to the ends of the earth. They were burned out of many villages and towns, put to the sword and singled out for special destruction, like Hitler's final solution, which determined to exterminate the entire race from the face of the earth. And we know that in World War II, Jewish people were turned into soap in the concentration camps. And of course, the Jews are no strangers to this kind of treatment. This is now a cable car up to the top of Masada, but that's the site of, it was Herod's temple, but the Jews got surrounded there in AD 73, and after a 6-month siege, when the Romans actually built a siege ramp all the way to the top and then pushed a siege engine all the way up it and got in, by which most of the Jews inside had taken their own lives anyway. But the Israelites have certainly been persecuted for thousands of years. After the Second World War, surviving Jews from all over Europe and all over the world returned to this land, which was then called Palestine, in increasing numbers. Palestine was a British creation on a map drawn up after the First World War, when Britain actually looked after the land. And at the Jaffa Gate, British used to have a checkpoint trying to control people coming in and out of Jerusalem. And of course these walls that we see today are from the Islamic times, about 500 years old, they're not Roman. At midnight on May the 14th in 1948, David Ben-Gurion proclaimed the establishment of the State of Israel, and he became Israel's first Prime Minister. And the US President then, Harry S. Truman, immediately recognised the new nation. Nobody's really sure why he did that. He recognised it and put it into a charter. And what happened on May the 15th, the very next day? May the 15th, 1948, every single neighbouring Arab state issued their response. As they declared war, they immediately attacked the brand new country, less than a day old. They attacked Egypt, Syria, Jordan, Lebanon, Iraq, simultaneously attacked the new nation. Even Saudi Arabia and Morocco sent fighters. Israel should not have survived. They didn't have a single tank, the one battlefield weapon known to be decisive. But after 10 months, they'd won. And after further battles in 1967 and 1973, Israel gained even more territory than they started with. How on earth did this happen? What a remarkable country and people this is. They seem indestructible. But they're used to war. Jerusalem has been besieged at least 27 times. You think back to Hezekiah's day when Sennacherib came against the city. And Hezekiah built a water culvert from the pool of Siloam out to the outside of the city, to the Gihon spring, to bring fresh water underground into Jerusalem so they could withstand the siege. And with Wellingtons you can still walk through Hezekiah's tunnel to this day. It's still there. Today, Israel's population is around 9 million. About the same as London. How is this country surviving? Israel has a $100 billion economy. That's larger than all its immediate neighbours combined. Israel is the only country in the world that entered the 21st century with a net gain in the number of trees. They've planted, planted, and planted. And don't you think there is a disproportionately high number of famous Jewish people in the world? In science, in literature, in the arts, in filmmaking, Jews are everywhere. For a people that's been so dispersed and despised, they've survived. Like Benjamin Disraeli, Britain's first Jewish Prime Minister. And we have Albert Einstein. There's many, many on there that I didn't realise. William Shatner, I didn't realise he was Jewish. But they are everywhere, interwoven into society. Israel has a Govin imaging department based in Israel. It developed the first ingestible video camera, so small it fits inside a pill that you can swallow. Israeli researchers are at the forefront of heart pacemaker technology. The mobile phone, of which there are now billions in the world, was originally developed in Israel by Motorola, another Jewish company. Motorola still has its largest development centre in Israel. Most of the Windows NT operating system was developed by Microsoft Israel. The Pentium MMX chip was designed at Israel at Intel. Voicemail technology was developed in Israel. Both Microsoft and Cisco have their only R&D facilities outside the US in Israel. An Israeli company was the first to develop a large-scale solar-powered electricity generating plant in the Mojave Desert. Israeli. And of course, it's a beautiful place to visit. This is Mount Arbel, overlooking the Sea of Galilee. It's green. It's prosperous. It's irrigated. But wait, Israel is breaking lots of other records too. Israel holds the world record in the number of refugees it has deported. At least 4 million. Israel holds the world record in the number of homes it's demolished. At least 60,000 homes have been bulldozed. Israel is the country with the highest number of UN condemnations. At least 500 times the UN have said, stop that! And what have they done? We have IMI. It's not Imperial Metal Industries, it's Israeli Military Industries. World famous for military equipment, for guns, for ammunition, for chaff and flare dispensing systems, for unmanned air vehicles. Yes, military drones have their origin in Israel. They have a small arms division, which have unfortunately given the world the things like the Uzi submachine gun and the 50 caliber Desert Eagle. Israel is here to stay. Now, of course, with nuclear weapons and tens of thousands of tanks. Israel is the country with the highest number of US Security Council vetoes. 100 times they've walked out. Israel's security forces have allegedly killed more innocent civilians per capita than any other country. At least 50,000 have been shot in the last 71 years. Israel has imprisoned more people in their country per capita than any other tiny nation. They have over 250,000 people in jails. So why is Israel grabbing all these headlines, good and bad? What's going on? Why is this country and people so special? This stubborn, intelligent people, still in nearly every country on earth, as well as in Israel. Why won't they just go away, like the Babylonians and the Romans and the Assyrians? Well, in the Bible, we have the answer. And there's only one reason and one answer. The modern miracle of Israel and the Jews are the fact they are declared as God's people. Yes, the great and only true God, Yahweh, Jehovah, the mighty one, the one who made all things, who made heaven and earth, and who rules in the kingdoms of men, who dwells from everlasting to everlasting, who has revealed to us through the pages of this book that he has a plan for the world and his creation that he's put on it, and particularly for the Jewish people, whether we like it or not. He has purposed a written word for us to know all about this and to make us wise into salvation. So it's to the Bible now that we look and learn why we have Israel in the world with us today, causing all this trouble. Well, Israel is here because God says so. And it all started with the forerunner, the father of the great nation, around 2000 BC. In Genesis 12, God said unto Abram, "Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." This is the forerunner of all the Jewish people. Abram, or Abraham as he was later called, was to leave his home in the Ur of the Chaldees in modern day Iraq and travel around the Fertile Crescent to the western end to a country called Canaan. Of Abraham's many offspring, the Jews came from his son Isaac, who later changed his name to Israel, or Jacob did. And all Arab nations can also trace their ancestry back to Abraham. So ironically, although they're fighting with the Arabs, they're all related. But God's line comes down the left there through Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. And Jacob changed his name to Israel. And they became then his offspring, the Israelites. But we see all the other Arab nations are also sons of Abraham. A little later in their history, God said this about the chosen race in Deuteronomy. "For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath he brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen, and from the hand of Pharaoh." This is a little later in their history, when they were saved from the Egyptians. "Know therefore, that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him, and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. If they were good and they followed God's commands, they would be blessed and saved, like here in Deuteronomy, in bondage in Egypt. If they were evil, they would be punished, and perhaps scattered as the Jews have been for thousands of years. Although they were chosen, many times they rejected God, and he punished them. But God still has his purpose and his promises to fulfill in the Jews." In Deuteronomy 12, we read that also the land is special. Not just the Israeli people, it's the land of Israel. It's a land which the Lord thy God careth for. "The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year." So we know that the land of Israel is going to feature prominently in all God's dealings with this earth. And the Bible says all those who bother themselves with Israel and Jerusalem will find it a burdensome stone. And Britain certainly did. Couldn't wait to get out. 2,000 years ago, we know that the Jews, the special chosen people, rejected Jesus, the Son of God. A Jew, not on that list. There's a famous Jew there, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. He was rejected by his own countrymen, and they condemned him to be crucified. And for this, God used the Romans to punish his favourite nation and destroy the ancient nation and effectively scatter them through slavery throughout the earth. And he used the Romans. And they became a byword, as prophesied, and the butt of many a joke. And in the Forum in Rome, you can see where it is in relation to the Colosseum, is this triumphal arch of Titus, when he was in the land of Israel with his father, before he became Emperor Titus. He was a general, of course, and he had a successful campaign in Judea. And on the inside of the arch, you can see this relief. And it's obviously about Israel, and it's obviously about the temple goods, and they're carrying away, look, the seven-branch candlestick, the great symbol of Israel. It looks like they're carrying a television set and a few other things, but it's definitely the implements of the temple from Jerusalem. And this is staked in history, AD 73. And of course, Emperor Hadrian, 65 years later, completely finished the job. And Jerusalem was ploughed like a field, just as Jesus said it would be. And then they rebuilt it, and the Romans called it Aeolia Capitolina. And it stayed that way for hundreds of years, just a Roman city. The Jews had gone. The homeland had gone. They had gone. They were all being deported and mixed up with the rest of the world. But they have still remained a distinct and separate race. And we know from the Bible that we read salvation is of the Jews, this persecuted people. Isaiah 43. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Saviour. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honourable, and I have loved thee. Therefore I will not give men for thee, and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east, and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far, and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Ye are my witnesses, it says in verse 10, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Saviour. I have declared and have saved, and I have showed, when there was no strange God among you. Therefore, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. So the Jews are going to be used by God to demonstrate his power and plan. And they have been gathered from the east and the west and the north and the south back to Israel. We can see this today. This is God's word in action. And what has happened to all the countries that took the Jews away? For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee. Though I will make a full end of all nations where I have scattered thee, yet will I not make a full end of thee, but I will correct thee in measure and will not leave thee altogether unpunished. That's why we have Israel in the world. All the nations that took the Israelis away have gone. But the Israelis, the Jews, are still with us. It's the Jew which are the sign. They show forth God's power and purpose and existence. Every time we hear the inclusion in the world news headlines, "It's God's plan and purpose at work." Most of the Jews don't know and realise their own special part in human history. Many still reject Jesus and stand by the Western Wall in Jerusalem. They think they've achieved everything on their own. I'm not a fan of the Jewish people, to be honest. Rude, arrogant. But they do have a rude awakening coming. You might be thinking, "I'm not Jewish. How can I be part of all these promises for Israel and the Jews that have stood the test of time? I'm not a son of Abraham." Well, from our opening reading, we can associate ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, that Jew of course, we have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek then. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. This is why Israel is for the salvation of mankind. We have to join ourselves to the ultimate Jew and be baptized into his saving name. Because the opposite, without Christ, we are aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. We've nothing to do with what's going to go on in Israel if we're not joined to him. We're strangers from all these promises. We have no hope. Basically, we're without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes afar off, come very close. All, of course, through the blood, the sacrifice, what Lord Jesus Christ did for us. We've got to be adopted into God's special family. We've got to appreciate the sacrifice for our sins that Jesus made and why his blood was spilt. Jesus truly is the route through which all families of the earth would be blessed. This is the original promise to Abraham in fulfillment through Jesus. He is the route whereby we can be grafted into Israel. And we learn from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, "In Christ shall all be made alive." The ultimate expression of being joined to the hope of Israel, living forever in God's earthly kingdom, soon to be established. In Christ shall all be made alive. What a wonderful promise. Israel is because God is. The all-powerful, self-existent God. Nothing can stop God, so nothing can stop Israel until his purpose is fulfilled. Israel is going to be in the headlines, the world news headlines, not just a regional thing, the world news headlines until kingdom come. It's God's plan and purpose, it will happen. And of course, Israel is going to be at the centre of world affairs now and into the future. That tiny little country and that tiny population. It can only be God behind them. Israel will not go into slavery again. Israel is going to house the capital of the world. Jerusalem will be rebuilt. The focus of man's religions will be taken away and a new and everlasting kingdom will centre on Jerusalem when that great crack in the earth's crust opens up and the land is reformed It's all part of the plan. Israel is the most important signpost to God's plan and purpose. People say, if only I could see a miracle like they did in Jesus' day, I'd believe. Well, we have the nation of Israel, the modern miracle of Israel. Because Israel is special. Israel is God's. Israel is salvation. Israel is life through Jesus Christ and through God's mercy. As for the Jews, on the whole, they don't know what's going on. But we believe that one day soon they will look on him whom they pierced and mourn. Although many don't realise their very special heritage, the Jewish people, we pray, will have a day of reckoning, and in God's mercy, an opportunity to respond and to live, just as we do now. Thank you.